of my talk now should be the goal of education. I would like to explain that on the basis of a certain passage in the Gemara of Messiah and Asicher Saper. So the Gemara says, Rav Chanina v'Rav Chiya kav min se ba'adode. The two Amoraim, great Amoraim, one Amir's name was Rav Chanina, and one Amir's name was Rav Chiya. And they had two different approaches in Chinuch. Omalei Rav Chanina l'Rav Chiya, but it decommences. You are comparing yourself to me. It was a race between two Amoraim, but it was a contest between two Amoraim in regard to the approach that one should employ in education. So Rav Chanina says, You are contesting me. You think that your approach is better and more effective than my approach. The more it is Torah is spoiled, if God forbid, Torah will be forgotten from Israel. Madranely be put. I have the potential. Besides, I have the potential of restoring Torah through my erudition and sophistication and my wisdom and my depth. Omalei Rav Chiya, but the Dikomin says, you are comparing yourself to me. The Avim Ne'emil said, the Lord is Takachter on Israel. You are great in restoring Torah to Israel, even when it's forgotten. But that's not such a great thing. My approach consists in doing something to prevent a shikha of Torah in Israel. My opinion. How does he do it? Halichne. I go out into the field and I catch deers. Let's say a chayotei deer is mutabachile. And then I shech them. I do everything myself. I shech them. And then after I shech them, I take off the hides of the deers, and on these hides I write Sefer Torah. That's my job in the field. But once this is done, so after I write the Sefer Torah on the hides of the deers, as little emotive. Then I come into the city. And this umachilne psorayel yasmi. Why the eyes of the deers used to write this for Torah something. But what's in the basha? He didn't sell it and make a business. He could open up a butcher shop, you know, and sell deer's meat. Something, I mean, those who are involved in kashrus agencies are trying, you know, to give a hechsher on deer's meat. So far it wasn't done. Something unusual, I don't do that. But machin lepsorai elias, I don't know about the business. I give way the bosom of the deer to the same. He's saying doesn't mean that he's saying it. It means unfortunate people. can need, sick people I need, poor people who cannot work, so I accommodate them. And then I gather 5 children. I don't open up a big school, only 5 children. And I teach the 5 children Chamisha Chumshiseo. Completely. And after I finish teaching 5 children Chamisha Chumshiseo, so I recruit 6 children, older children, and I teach them Shisa Sivanish. And then, when it means Shisha Sivanish, it doesn't mean the way we learn today Mishnayos, even if we learn it with the Habnevagim Vanenore, or some shorter view of it. It means I teach them the whole Gemara after all. That was Rafriya. So it means together with the Shisha Sita Mishneh, he teaches them the Gemara. And then I tell each one of the Shisha Sita Mishneh who learn Shisha Sita Mishneh. But some children excel in Braises, not so much in Shmeis. Some children excel in Shmeis. You can't excel in everything. There has to be the vision of labor. Some in Vayikra, some in Bamidbar, some in Dvorim. So I tell each child who excels in Braises, he should learn with the other boys who don't excel in Braises. And they tell the child, it's not a child, it's a youngster, like a time, to teach the other boys Shmoyis. And after they do that, I tell each one of them, they should go out and recruit other children. What is Gemara telling us? But we know in regard to Eretz Yisrael, two kedushas took place. Eretz Yisrael is higher than Tumas Maisos. In other words, it is a kedusha. It's not only that Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. It has sanctity. It's higher than Tumas Maisos. So there are two kedushas. The first kedusha was done by Yeshua ben Nun, and that was through kibush. War, he waged war. Of course, the war that was waged was out the Adibur, out the Bezdin, out the Omitumim. It wasn't a regular war, like the wars that have taken place throughout the generations. It was a kibush of kibush. It was not an aggressive war. It was a defensive war. Offensive in the sense that the soil belonged to the Jewish people since the days of Avraham, and defensive, and had a great humanitarian motive, because the Torah tells us about the ancient Canaanites who had possession of the soil. Gam es bneiem, es niseiem, yisrufu ve'eish esraheiem. Can't be considered today. I mean, they're so barbaric that they sacrificed the sons and the daughters to the idol, the Moloch. When I was a child, I couldn't understand how could a person be so barbaric. But now, unfortunately, when we hear of after the Shoah, and even after nowadays, we hear of such barbarities that take place throughout the world. So I can understand it. So it wasn't an aggressive war. So how could it be an aggressive war? It was out Pia Dibo, out on the tomb of Pinobi. And it had a humanitarian motive, to save humanity, not to let people sink into barbarity more and more. So it was a kibush of Kedusha, not a kibush of brute physical force, Chas v'Shalom. So then the Gemara says, the Kedusha Rishena that was done through kibush was kicho rishaito v'loy kicho v'shalom. It lasted only as long as the Jewish people was in control of that Islam. But the moment Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and took the Jews into exile, the Kedusha was broken. And in the 70 years that intervened between the Golas by Yisrish and Chum by Yisrish and the Binyan by Yisheini, that the soil did not have a Kedusha. It still belonged to the Jews, but it did not have any sanctity. It was not higher than Thomas of Isaac. Then Chagai, Scharia, Malachai, and Zubovel, and a little later Ezra and Chemye went out to Eretz Yisrael, and they settled in Eretz Yisrael, and they built the second Beis HaMikdash. They were also Mikdash Eretz Yisrael, but the second Kedusha was not done for kibush because it wasn't, they did not have the real control of Eretz Yisrael. It's really the control of Eretz Yisrael was vested in Koresh and then in Dayodesh. So how was it in Skadish? For Chazok, by settling upon the land and cultivating the land. So the second Kedusha, the Gemara says, and Amman Paskins, is Kisho Vishaito, the Kisho Vaslav, even after the Chum by Sheni, and after Titus, Horosho, took the Jews into exile, but the Kedusha remained. And now, those places that the Lipovel settled on has the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Like is not a bias, same way. So the Rambam raises the question, how can you understand it? After all, Yehoshua was the town of the Mishmati. So the Kedusha that he did lasted only as long as the Jewish people had control over Eretz Yisrael. But after the Churban, it was bottom. And the second Kedusha, not Yehoshua, for great people, but you can't compare them to Yeshua. He was the Talmud of Misha Rabbein. So the second Kedusha is Kichel Ishait of the Kichel Asbabin. So the Rambam gives a teretz, an answer. He says, the first Kedusha was done, was realized through Kibush. So a Kedusha that is realized through Kibush can only last as long as the Kibush lasts. For the moment Nebuchadnezzar HaRosha was Kedusha Eretz Yisrael from them, so the Kedusha is also broken. But a certain Kedusha did not involve any Kibush. Kedush, the Persian emperors, they had control of Eretz Yisrael. And the Jews, only because Kedush and Ayovesh allowed them to build the Beis HaMikdash and to settle on Eretz Yisrael. So it was done for Chazoke. Chazoke, something that is done through effort, through work, you know, dedication, can never become what. So these two kinds of wishes are not limited to Eretz Yisrael. It's not only Eretz Yisrael can be miskadesh for two approaches. Am Yisrael can also be miskadesh for two approaches, and therefore the two approaches of Rav Chanina on one end and Rav Chiya on the other end. There is, you can mitadeish Am Yisrael for kibush. Kibush does not mean that in the moment. Power. Rav Chanina had intellectual power. Intellectual power. Even if Chas V'Sholem, the Torah would be forgotten from Israel with his sophistication and his intellectual capacities, he could restore it. And it worked. Yeshua was not only Kaddish. The land of Eretz Yisrael through Kibush is mentioned in Yeshua, that Yeshua received a report that neither Yardin, they built the bomber. So he was afraid, Chas V'Sholem, that that bomber was Lishim of Gizor. So he sent them a warning. He said, if you don't put down that bomber, which he thought was Lav Gizor, then I'm sending a regiment and they will wage war against you. So he sent him a message, Chas V'Sholem. It was the Shins of Mind, the bombing. It was not Lamizot. What was that kibbutz? Force. Of course, force backed by the highest concepts. Might backed by the highest concepts of right. So in those days, when the peoples in general were barbaric, Gamas Neyem, Besmiseyem, Yisrufu, Eish, Lerheyem, that he sacrificed their sons and their daughters to that misery, so that we couldn't resort to Chazoki. In order to be able to do something for Chazoki, you have to have a modicum of civilized people. But when you have barbarians, you can't mikdash them through Chazok. But the Israel situation was different. There were still pagans, but it was a different kind of paganism. It was not a paganism that was based completely upon barbarity. In Israel, the paganism was completely grounded in barbarity. So then it was possible to be Kaddish at the soil for Chazoke, and more than that, Am Yisrael for Chazoke. And that is really the message of Schari. Loi b'chayil, loi b'keach, in other words, Chas V'Sholem told them, don't think that your mandate now is the same mandate that was given to Yeshua. Yeshua's mandate was to employ kibbutz. In those days, he couldn't employ chazoki, but now the world is more civilized. You have certain kings, like the Persian kings, who are very ethical, and they realize that the Jewish people is also entitled to their home. So now your mandate is not one of kibush, of force, might, backed by right, but plain chazak. So Chanina's approach was one of kibush, intellectual kibush. He could influence the Jewish masses on such a scale that even the Torah had been forgotten, so he could restore the Torah. And in certain times, it was effective. Chesed, it's all right for you now to resort to kibush, intellectual kibush, when Klal Yisrael is under the hashpoya of the daily Yisrael, the daily Atreya. But what will you do later on, centuries later, when people, individual Jews, like Onon, like Spinoza, like Karl Marx, like Trotsky, when they will be considered as the leaders of the Jewish people? Nadek de la Torah. So, how will you be able to restore the Torah? You won't be interested in the restoration of the Torah. If a Jew believes in the Torah Nashamayim, but is ignorant, then you can restore the Torah. But if he defies the Torah, and if he considers Torah as an opium, in the days of Karl Marx, so you can't employ the approach of kibush. But my approach is effective. Chazoki, hard work to go out into the field without publicity, without public relations. Just go out into the field and catch deers, and then and slaughter the deers, and then and to egg. And to rise for Torahs on the hides of the deers, and to give away the bosor for the unfortunate people. So this, of course, today is also two approaches. Business people in general are disposed to treat this yeshiva, elementary level yeshiva, high school, and Dibne Bismedresh, where I have older students, sometimes students who are married, as a commercial enterprise. That's kibush. 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 For money, for wealth. But that is effective. But it has its limitations. There's another method for chazoki, like being marzik in the Jewish children. And if you treat it like a business, then you say, well, the parents of this child, they can't pay for any tuition. So it is not a good business policy to admit children free. But if you employ the approach of chazoki, so adarabe, you have to give way the boss of the deers, not to butcher stores, and make a business and become wealthy, but to the poor children. Now, the Torah says at the beginning of Ayeo, in respect of Avraham Avinu, Ki dati from Anashe Yitzave es bono ves beis Yaakov. Vishomu derech Hashem lasis doko mishma. Does it means I love Avraham Avinu. I have a special relationship with Avraham Avinu. Why does the Rebbeinu Shlomo have a special relationship with Avraham Avinu? The Torah could have mentioned because Avraham Avinu was sacrificed himself in Ochazni. He was ready to become burned in the furnace of Ochazni. I saw on the Sienis, this Nasa, one of them, on the Akedah, the Torah doesn't mention any of that saw on the Sienis. But the main reason as to why the Rebbeinu Shlomo established special relationship with our former Vinu is because our former Vinu was dedicated to Chinuch. Chinuch Habonim and Chinuch Habonis. Chinuch Habonis is just as important as Chinuch Habonim, because his Bonof means Bonim, his Basin means the daughters. Because the daughters, the girls, the future mothers of the Jewish people, that's the backbone of the Jewish people, in more than the sons. So if he died, I love Avraham Avinu. I establish a special relationship with Avraham Avinu. The man asher yitzave es bonof es beisi achov, because Avraham Avinu is dedicated to the mandate of chinuch. What kind of chinuch? What approach? Not kibush, but chazon. And something else. He died for Manasseh Yitzhave as Bonov as Bisach, because he will instruct his children. So it's an imperative. So he should say, Lishma Dach. Why do they say Bishomu Dach Hashem? The answer is, you can't raise children and inspire children and youngsters and middle-aged people and elderly people by telling them what to do. It's not a fact. You know, the Chasam Sefer left his apoy for all his descendants and dear Samashim. His apoy, how they should act. So, among the things that the Chasam Sefer mentioned in his apoy for all his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Advia Sageya was one civil, that his descendants until Vyasa Mashiach should never attend a theater. After Mashiach comes, they won't be So, and Chasam Sefer, like all the good Israels, has all kinds of descendants. He has descendants who are the Dile Adonai, and he has descendants who are completely assimilated. Completely assimilated. And unfortunately, he has a few descendants that abandon the Jewish faith and accept the Christian faith. So of course, as far as the descendants who are in Israel, so they don't attend the theater, they don't go to movies, they don't even have a television, and they would do it without his support. As far as the assimilated descendants are concerned, so of course they don't care about ourselves and the West. Why should they be concerned with the savoir of their ancestor? But I knew in New York, and even in Chicago, I know some modern Orthodox descendants. They too observe the subway. They never go to a theater. They go to movies and television. They have all kinds of television. Cable television, not one television, but three televisions. One for the father, one for the mother in the kitchen, and one for the children. Why? Because that was his way of lishmeder. It's not a fact. If a mechanach tells the students, a principal, a teacher, you can do this, you can do that, don't watch television. See, waste of time. It's not a fact. Sometimes it might allow a resentment in the hearts of some students. The best savoy is by example. Ki dativ manashi tzavez bonai vez beisi acharov. One savoy, one word. Acharai. Follow my example. If the children see that the father and the mother lead a very sublime ethical life, a life that is dedicated to Torah by the Mut Hashem. Mele they'll be inspired, and the same thing is true of teachers. You can't instruct and tell students, don't watch television, don't do this, don't do that. The best savoir is by setting an example. If children see that the Rebbe, the teacher, the principal is devoted to them. If children see that the Mnael and the teacher, so they follow the example of Rabchiye. They give way the vessel of the dias to the poor children. They give scholarships to the poor children. And they admit children were not so bright. You know, there are some schools, of course that's because of the millionaires, because millionaires are disposed to give money for brilliant students, scholarship, brilliant students. How about the children with learning disabilities beyond the sense of life? I'm only talking of generalities. Of course there are exceptions. Generalities. In the medium naklal, I feel moving to the market. There are exceptions. I'm only talking of generalities. There are exceptions. But for children with learning disabilities, no one cares for them. And there is a Chuvas HaRashba. The Rashba was asked, if there is a choice for a Melamed Neges between teaching right Talmid, all of Shas, or teach what we call today retarded children, to be able to read and to daven, what comes first? So he said that teaching retarded children to be able to daven and to read the Torah and to understand, so that, and to teach them how to function, comes first. So that is the approach of Chazon.
We have any questions, comments?
In the distinction of the dichotomy between chinuch al yidei kibush versus chinuch al yidei hazaka, does the leeward of the pasuk af chachmasi amdali, does that fit into that dichotomy in terms of limud al yidei af, in terms of chinuch al yidei kibush, or can it fit also in chinuch al yidei
af chachmasi amdali? Implies that you have to employ, you know, common sense and wisdom, you know, in order to inspire other people. So of course it fits in. Yes.
Where would fit into the discussion of weaker children, or disabled children, poor children? Where in that pattern does children who come from non-observant homes, in terms of
you have to make care of them. You have to make care of the children. They are also unfortunate people, spiritually unfortunate. If their parents don't know of anything, if, let's say, many of their relatives intermarry, so they are unfortunate. And if it's possible to empower them and to bring them into the Pinas Hoeya Shotero, as the Chaznish Vajal, so there's the biggest mitzvah. And when I say poor children, the parents can pay. So the same thing applies even the parents are rich, but they don't want to pay. If you give them a scholarship, so be happy. Then they'll change the parents. But if you say, well, you have to pay $5,000 at least, or $10,000, then you treat it like a business. And the Novi Sharye says, the last pasuk, after oil, the first day of Sukkot, fill yield knining Bisharishet. In Knining means a merchant, not a Canaanite. The Bris Hashem, the commercial approach, is not, has no rights of this Sorega. In Shiva cannot be treated like a business. Yes.
In terms of this distinction of Chinuch Ayyidei Kibush versus Chinuch Ayyidei Chazaka,
yes.
What would the position be, what would the Rosh Hashiva's position be regarding schools establishing areas of the standards which they impose upon the families in terms of imposed upon the children which camps to go to, which activities to do to, what they can attend, in terms of establishing it?
Well,
it's
all right to establish standards in regard to camps they can go to. But Chanich Linao Tidarke, you see, if the parents are of such character that you can prevail upon them to send them to an ideal camp, not a camp where the major thing is studying and so on, and more learning, and of course play, but the main thing is learning, so you should do it. But if the parents are not in the darge, and if you tell them all, you have to send them to Camp Agude, you'll lose everything. Then you shouldn't make an issue of it. The Novi says, "Hinenasati dvara bifichom uftzil yodik izisicho vintea tzifosik nishaye tzifosik shamayim velisidoretz." I put my word in your mouth. That means I gave you a certain mandate. What is the mandate? To plant the heaven and to build an earth. In regard to an earth, let's say a nice building can be built. An Empire State Building can be built in half a year. Sears Building can be built in half a year, provided you have enough man equipment and material equipment. What is Shemayim? A heaven. You can't build a heaven. You build a heaven by setting policies. If you don't send to these camps, you send to other camps, then your children cannot come to school. You lose everything. It has to be planted. Planted is a gradual process. Of course, it's an individual approach. It's relative to the character and the type of the parent. Yes?
What about the occasional student that all our schools have every once in a while who we discover is involved with drugs or promiscuity?
So you shouldn't keep them, but you should send them to a doctor and you should try to rehabilitate them. But before they become rehabilitated, then they are seconded to the other students. There's a difference between a child who has learning disabilities and, of course, a child who is poor, so he is no danger to others, and a drug addict. And I don't even want to mention today what other evils are possible. So then, we owe a duty to them too, but not a duty as as President Clinton, you know, unfortunately, I voted for President Clinton, and I campaigned for him. I felt that he's a much better president than Bush. Not that Bush was so bad, but the cabinet was not so good. So, especially James Baker. So, but it's unfortunate that he, instead of declaring gay people as sick people, they should be rehabilitated, so it declares them as leading a normal lifestyle. So if Chas v'Sholem, you discover that one child is a drug addict, you have to call the parents. And the parents, and you say, he has to be taken out immediately, and he has to be rehabilitated. You can't keep him in the school even for one day. But after he's rehabilitated, so then you let the parents enroll them in the school. That's the method of Chazak. Yes?
Could the Rosh Hashiva please give me an answer to what to answer parents when they say if there are too many LD children in a class?
There are too many what?
Too many learning disabled children.
So you establish a
special...
I don't say that you should keep a genius child with a learning disability child in the same class. You establish separate classes. You have to establish separate classes. Yes?
Okay, he's started already.
All right. Just by Chazak grounds, I was coming.
Let's assume that there are all types. Most high schools have a limited amount of spaces.
How many students are Yeshiva High School campus? I have a limited number of seats.
Come forward.
So you should ask the directors, they should give more money.
My question is, what criteria should be used for acceptance?
Everybody should be accepted. But you can't, excluding students will be a danger to others. But like this, learning disabilities, and poor, of course, should be accepted. But that doesn't mean that you have to put the genius and the learning disability student in the same class. You should have separate classes.
But if someone has to be turned away, let's say you have 20 spaces and you have 70 applicants, who's going to be turned away?
Not a poor student. And not the unfortunate who has a learning disability. I know students who had learning disabilities, and then they made such progress, and they became real London. Some of them who London in Torah, and I know some students who had learning disabilities in reading, but the proper methods were used, and now they are doctors, lawyers, engineers, and everything. You know, we say learning disability. It doesn't mean that he has no talent. He has no talent in one area, but in other areas he has talent. And even the area where he has no talent. So there are all kinds of the modern techniques whereby you can galvanize his potential. The task of educators is to galvanize the potential of the student.
Well, the Rosh Hashiva said that the best way to teach is through example.
That's
if
right.
You know that if a majority of the parents of your students are not giving them the right example. I'm not talking about Shabbos or anything, just I'm talking about the Torah, I mean television.
Of course, then it's a difficult task for the Mechanchim. They have to devoted to them and to exert greater effort than for the students who have the proper atmosphere at home. I know it's not an easy task, and you have to have more teachers and more guidance counselors. It's not a simple thing. Yes.
Mr. Shiva just mentioned before that a drug addict versus someone who is involved in things like this is a sakana and shouldn't be kept in the yeshiva until he gets rehabilitation. What would the Rosh Hashiva consider a broader base view of a sakana? Would a child who is a disruptive influence in a class and doesn't allow learning to be a sakana,
well,
a child who is physical...
A child is a disruptive influence, so he's also a sakana on a minor scale, but I think that can be handled, and this problem can be coped with in a short time. But somebody is a drug addict, so I don't think the machach in the school are equipped to rehabilitate it. Only doctors and psychologists can rehabilitate it. So you should not keep him for one day, but if a child is disruptive, call the parent. I know sometimes parents are not bothered. So you have to tell the parents that the principal corrupts certain psychologists. I know that. But if somebody is a drug addict, he's a psychotic monday.
But at what point does the principal have an obligation if, let's say, the psychologist were called in and the doctors, and the problem is still not resolved after 1 month, 2 months,
after
5 months.
Talking to the parents,
after,
the parents don't cooperate, then the mechanchim have the right to let him go, to leave the school, that's all. The Zim Hasim says that no one is allowed to expel a child because he's weak, he's lazy, but if he's very disruptive, then you have to expel the child.
I want to mention for the Rosh Yeshiva, I think every menayel here a priori agrees with the concept of Torah Yidei Chazaka, but the menayel, from their position, sometimes encounters an attitude, more often than not in the community, that they cannot attract Talmidim to their school. When the word goes out, that school takes weaker students.
No.
That school takes less from students.
As far as weaker children, they can see that they are concerned. So the solution consists in making special classes.
Okay.
So how can you say, how can anybody who has come and said, this is a school for weak students, we have separate classes. Let's say you have a tadpole, so it will not, so it might be damaging to the reputation of the school. And this far is less full students, has to be someone you cannot set up special classes. But you spend more time with less full students. And then example is the most effective method.
Yeah, I
know when I was a rabbi in Hanoi years ago, so many students came from irreligious homes. And the students who came from either irreligious homes turned out to be leaders in America. And then they changed their home. Because Rav Rutter's family he believed that you had to make Harvard.
I'm telling you from I mean, people can dispute it. I found it that the parents say, I want my child in a total frum environment, and therefore your school, with all its well-meaning and its wonderful work that they are doing, still, I want the other school, because they will not accept a child who is not from a Shomer Shabbos home. So I want to be, I want a guaranteed result, and I don't want to... It's not only to tell me and them, it's to tell the community.
What the Chanukim has to do is to try not only to educate the children, but to educate the parents. To have classes regularly for the parents. Everything. Basically, Vavisa Vonim means that by educating the children, so they'll influence the parents. Is the other way. Of course, to be in a chanach is a very difficult thing.
Everyone agrees with that.
And they don't get enough appreciation.
Yes. Did you hear what the Rosh Yeshiva said? The Mechanchim don't get enough appreciation.
Not from the parents.
And not from the Balabatim.
And not from the directors. And sometimes they get so much criticism from the parents, especially the parents. Very I wasn't born yesterday, I know.
Any more questions or comments? Okay. In the name of all the principals, we thank the Rosh Yeshiva for taking time out. This session was extremely important for everyone. And I, for one, I think I speak for everyone else here, we got some very important ideas and concepts on how to run
an
Yeshiva. Right for Yeshiva.
Okay.
I had a chance to read your book. Now I have a chance to hear your tools. Special chizuk for Rabbi Yehoshua.
This is awesome. I'm happy. This is Talmud of Rav Aaron Zinn.